Here's kind of a random question for you. If you could be a part of any TV sitcom family, which one would it be? According to a survey from the telecommunications company CenturyLink, 18% of Americans said the Belchers from Bob's Burgers.
All right, we're going bowling. Having fun tonight, right, Bob?
Mm-hmm.
Forgetting our troubles, not thinking about that dumb magazine and the list we didn't get on.
Mm-hmm.
And she mentioned the list.
Best burgers on the shore? What a joke.
Bob, it's just a list. Who cares?
I do!
But you always say lists are stupid.
They are.
Even grocery lists? They remind us to buy pudding.
Well, they got onto this list. 17% went with the Goldbergs from the Goldbergs, and 13% said the Johnsons from Black-ish. I think this focused on more recent shows. Which families are people glad they're not a part of? The Griffins from Family Guy came up on top, followed by the Simpsons from The Simpsons and the Bluths from Arrested Development. CenturyLink also looked at internet searches and other data to figure out the most popular show, most searched show in each state. In Wisconsin, we got That 70s Show, which of course was set here. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Which TV sitcom family do you wish you were part of, and why? Is there a particular character you think you would have gotten along really well with? Is there a sitcom family that reminds you of your own family? How about one where maybe you like to watch it? You're glad you're not part of that family. Is there one that says Wisconsin to you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or join the conversation on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Robert Thompson is trustee professor of TV and pop culture and founding director of the Bleier Center for Television and Popular Culture at Syracuse University. Bob, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Do you have a TV sitcom family? I've been struggling to come up with one where I'd really like to be part of the family. Did you?
Well, I have one that most reminded me of my family, but I guess I also have one that I would most want to be part of. However, it's been totally compromised. So if we're willing to separate the guy who made this show and the show itself, I think being part of the Huxtables on the Cosby Show, that family was about as perfect as you could get. Mom was a lawyer. Dad was a doctor. The siblings all got along together. It really was the opposite of a dysfunctional family. Unfortunately, there's a big, massive cloud now hanging over that show.
Yeah. And if you're on that show, you'd get to meet all these cool jazz musicians, as I recall. Another bonus if you could have been a Huxtable.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there were so many. That was people used to talk a long time ago about how the Bradys were so perfect. How could any family be that perfect? The Cosbys trumped the Bradys in a lot of ways. So it's really a shame that we now have to kind of, before we talk about the show, you need like a disclaimer.
An asterisk.
But you know, the show that most, Leave It to Beaver, and this survey seems to have a very short memory because nothing goes back very far. But that was a program that really reminded me, even the way the kids talked and the slang that they used, that really nailed a certain segment of American society. And it was a very specific segment indeed. But that was a show that I remember seeming really familiar to me when I was watching it in reruns as a kid.
Now, in the world of sitcoms, and there's ones that take place at workplaces like Night Court, The Office, 30 Rock, things like that. Some in a third space like Cheers at the bar or Community at a community college. Seems like, though, the family sitcom, if we started separating them out, that is a pretty dominant player in the sitcom world, right?
It is. I mean, the idea that we would sit in our living rooms and watch other people in their living rooms go about their lives. There was a real mirror sense. And this, of course, started even before television. Radio had an awful lot of family sitcoms on it, some of which, in fact, turned into TV shows later, including one of the classics, Father Knows Best. And talk about a title that completely announces its paternalistic prejudices. I can't think of any three words that would say that much more clearly. But that started as a radio show, went to television, and in fact took place, as many of these shows did, not in specific named towns or even named locations. They took place in these kind of any suburb USA, these kind of Edenic utopias. Even their names, Father Knows Best was called Springfield. Spring, of course, flowers, gardens, that kind of thing. Field, what could be more Edenic than that? And Mayfield was where Leave It to Beaver took place. And, of course, The Simpsons, when it wanted to be the anti-Father Knows Best, the opposite of those 50s and 60s utopian families, named their town after the town in Father Knows Best. That was not a coincidence.
Let's give a listen to The Simpsons, where the father doesn't, people may have noticed this, does not always know best.
Salt me.
Never knows best.
Yeah, you are, Homer.
What the? Why are you talking like that?
The play's tomorrow night. I've got to stay in character.
Hey, Mom, would it help if I talk like this, too?
It might.
And I'll talk like this. Bob's your uncle, mate.
That really doesn't help, Bob.
Big Daddy, would y'all mind passing a little old biscuit?
Can I slug off school tomorrow? Got a pain in me Gulliver.
I'm living in a cuckoo clock.
Now, The Simpsons is part of kind of the opposite side of the Father Knows Best type sitcom, where it's maybe a loving family, but kind of dysfunctional. A Married with Children came out around the same time. Both kind of controversial in their ways. The anti-hero family, if you want to call it that, Robert.
Right. And that's exactly what it was. I mean, the fact that they took the name of the town from Father Knows Best shows that they were very clearly trying to reverse that whole thing. There were like three phases. You had the Leave It to Beaver, Father Knows Best, Donna Reed show, Ozzie and Harriet period, where the families were just perfect. And then we had some attempt in the 70s to get a little more quote unquote realistic. But then in the 80s, we went back to the old-fashioned, hyper-conservative notion of the perfect family. Family ties, growing pains, and the Cosby Show, those families were right back to Father Knows Best again. In some cases, father and mother knew best, but the same sort of thing. And then in the end of the 80s, we had the big three of Roseanne, Married with Children, and The Simpsons. In the case of Roseanne, everybody loved each other. It was a nice family, but of course it showed some of the warts. In the case of The Simpsons, it really was the reverse of Father Knows Best. Father was a doofus. And in the case of Married with Children, that went the furthest. That show actually, when all was said and done, unlike most other comedies that have played, every one of the people in Married with Children would have been better off if they weren't in that family.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234 with a TV family. Not sure if this one's going to be a comedy. Let's go to Lou in Ashland. Lou, hi.
Hey there, guys. I know that they're square, they're corny, whatever, especially the ending part of each episode, but the Waltons, they loved their family. They loved their neighbors and their friends, and they even cared for strangers, and they brought across, you know, issues that every family deals with, good and bad. But, you know, in the end, there was a lot of love.
Lou, thanks for the call. I don't know if Waltons quite fits into sitcom. I always think of it more, I never watched it a lot, more in the drama, but they had their lighter moments, Bob.
Well, you know, it wasn't a sitcom. And however, I'm so glad that was the first call, because on top of my list of the families that I would want to be part of on television, if we open it up beyond this survey of the sitcoms, the first thing that came to mind was the Waltons. I was probably 13 when that show started. And everything that the caller just described was true. That was a family that exhibited family values in the true sense of that word. The only thing that I would be wary of about being part of the Waltons family is they had to do a lot of work. There were a lot of chores. I'm not sure I would have gone for that.
Thanks for that call. We're talking about TV sitcom families with Robert Thompson, trustee professor of TV and pop culture and founding director of the Bleier Center for Television and Popular Culture at Syracuse University. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Bring up a TV sitcom family for us. Could be past or present. Is there one you wish you could be part of? A character, a family you think you'd get along with really well, maybe a good neighbor family to have? Or is there one you're really glad you're not part of, but maybe get a good laugh out of watching them on the TV? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time.
We're all right. We're
That's the theme from That 70s Show. Here on the Ideas Network, I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about our favorite TV sitcom families. The company CenturyLink came out with a list of popular shows based on internet searches and other metrics. Wisconsin, That 70s Show was the top searched, also number one in 10 other states. They also surveyed Americans to find out which shows they wish they were a part of. The Belchers from Bob's Burgers, a popular family, kind of a more recent bias, it looks like. Robert Thompson stays with us, trustee professor of TV and pop culture at Syracuse University. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now with Jim on the line in Milwaukee. Jim, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. You know, I got to go with Leave It to Beaver in June and Ward Cleaver. I mean, goodness gracious, you know, things were pretty simple back then, and people didn't get in too much trouble. The kids did okay. I mean, you know, I mean, yeah, there was Eddie around, Eddie Haskell and all that jazz. But, you know, I mean, June and Ward, I mean, they were nice.
Jim, thanks a lot for the call. Yeah, the conflicts were pretty low stakes, as I recall, Bob.
They were. And, you know, if you haven't watched that show recently, it holds up amazingly
really well.
I think the dates of that were, it debuted right around the time Sputnik was launched, and it ended right around the time that JFK was assassinated. So it really covers a crucial part and dangerous and scary part of American history. But like so much of television back then, it ignored all of that. It took place in a completely isolated universe. And if you're willing to kind of let it go, that it was presenting a kind of American life that never really existed quite like that, and that was changing in many different ways, and was only a slice of how some people lived. If you give it all of that, it holds up amazingly well. That was a really, really funny and sensitive show.
Well, you mentioned the 70s, kind of a backlash to that kind of thinking. And I'm thinking of Norman Lear type shows, All in the Family, The Jeffersons. There's a long list, I think, of shows that said, yeah, we can be sitcoms and we're going to reflect what's going on in the world.
You're so right about that. All in the Family is arguably still the single most influential program in entertainment television in the country. Before that, even though we were, you know, in the late 60s, we were in the middle of a civil rights movement. We were in the middle of a really troublesome war and a Cold War. Most TV, with a couple of exceptions, Laugh-In and Smothers Brothers, most of them ignored that. All in the Family brought in those issues of race, of politics, of the war. And they were so successful 5 years in a row as number one, that had never happened prior to that. Everybody else started doing that. And we then did get the more, again, I put in quotes, realistic family. But then by the 80s, we did have that return to the father knows best in these perfect families like the Huxtables and Family Ties and Growing Pains and those kinds of things.
Thanks for that call. We'll go now to Ben in Two Rivers. Ben, hi.
Yeah, if I could live in a TV family, the Addams Family is where it's at.
Yeah, okay. You know what? Now you say that, I'm thinking, yeah, maybe me too. What is your case there? What would be, I could kind of come up with ideas, but what do you think would be cool about living with Gomez and Morticia?
Well, as long as you have all the in-world benefits of being resistant to poison and whatnot, when Wednesday and Pugsley are trying to kill you, as a family unit, they were very tight knit. They really took care of each other. And who wouldn't want a romance like Morticia and Gomez as opposed to Romeo and Juliet?
I love it, Ben. Thanks a lot for that. Maybe I'll go with that one, Bob. What do you think?
Yeah, Romeo and Juliet die at the end. Right. For all we know, the Addams Family are already dead. I'm glad you brought up that idea, though, of the two main characters' relationships, because most television, as everybody knows back then, husband and wife slept in separate beds. There was a sense that you wondered how they got these families because they seemed to have no erotic life whatsoever. Gomez and Morticia, they were, how would the kids say, totally into
Cut-a-mia.
Each other.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. That is a great relationship. I love it, Ben. Thank you so much for sharing that. We heard a pretty recent one now. Yvonne on Facebook says, they say I could say this on the air. Every Radio Instinct says I can't. S-Words Creek, I'm going to say, the very recent comedy, Eugene Levy, Catherine O'Hara. As a family that starts off very squabbly and finishes off kind of bickery, but they grow, their love for each other grows. Bob, is this one you followed?
Yes, I think that's a great candidate. And let's put, by the way, one of the actors in that is now in that show, Kevin Can F Himself. So she's now been in two shows that you can't say on radio. Here's how I would look at that program. If I were in that family in episode one, I would probably run away from home.
Yes.
But by the end of the run of the series, I would happily come back and be embraced by them.
Talking to Bob Thompson from Syracuse University, TV and pop culture expert there, looking at TV families, mostly sitcom families that you would or wouldn't want to be part of. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go to Richard now in Two Rivers. Richard, hi.
Yeah, hey, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, it's not really a comedy, but I grew up in New Jersey, which in a dysfunctional family in a dysfunctional state. And I gravitated towards Mr. Rogers, who you can argue whether it was humor or not, but he was very eclectic and he had jazz musicians on and he turned you on to a different variety of different elements. And I thought he was like a family, and I could never understand why he was just a single father and he couldn't just adopt me and I could live with him and put his slippers on for him.
Richard, thank you so much for sharing that. I'm going to guess Richard isn't the only one who thought along those lines, Bob.
We're talking about Richard, Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Abrams. Rogers, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, who I can't, if I think of the words kind and gentle and all of those other great adjectives, Mr. Rogers' face could be used to illustrate all of those things. I can think of no better neighborhood to go into if I had a boo-boo in my heart or on my body.
Thanks a lot for sharing that with us, Richard. I appreciate it. Well, producer Bill Martins really wants me to talk about one of his favorite families he'd want to be a part of. Here's a listen.
It's the day before Christmas. I've hidden all the eggs.
Al, we hide eggs at Easter, not at Christmas.
Well, that's right. Christmas is when we carve the pumpkin.
Well, you two get these holidays straightened out. I think I'll just go make breakfast.
Not necessary. I already made breakfast. Sloppy Joe's and fiberglass.
I'll just go find the eggs.
Bob, of course, that's Alf, the Tanner family, with Alf, the alien life form, living among them. Kind of a stranger family, I think, in some ways.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that says about your producer, Bill Martins, but that was sure a fun show. However, if you had a pet cat, you would not want to live in that family.
Definitely.
Because as you might remember, Alf liked to eat cats.
Yes. Come on, Bill. Don't forget about the cat thing. Let's go back to our callers now. We've got Cindy with us in Oshkosh. Cindy, hi.
Oh, hi. Hi. I've got my brother-in-law in the car with me, Kurt, and he's Downs, and he's a big sitcom fan, and he wanted to tell you about his favorite sitcom, so I'm going to put him on right now.
Okay, hand it over, yeah. Hey, Kurt. Oh, no, we lost him, but we got the note. Happy Days was the sitcom of choice there, and that's, you know, that's an interesting one because you've got the Cunninghams, and their boarder, who grew to be a bigger piece of the show, Fonzie, kind of a family of choice there as well, Bob.
Right. That was a pretty nice family. And, of course, it was looking back at the old traditional idea of TV families. It was in a show made in the 70s, but set in the 1950s. I have one issue about being in the Cunningham family in Happy Days, however.
What is that?
They had a son named Chuck, their oldest son. Who, I don't know if they killed him or if he's in the basement, but he disappeared mysteriously. So before I joined that family, I'd want to check with social services and what the deal is with that first kid.
Oh, we've had, by the way, another selection, despite the missing son, of the Cunninghams from Happy Days, and another vote for the Addams Family since we started talking. Thank you, everybody who called in with that. Bob, the sitcom, I hear, isn't as big a deal as it used to be. This used to be like ratings dynamite. It was the top show. It's a different era now. What do you make of the modern era of the sitcom?
Yeah, well, the comedy, the half-hour comedy is alive and well. It tends to be more, though, the kinds of programs not shot in front of live audiences mm-hmm. that we think of as the sitcom with the laughing in the background and all the rest of it. However, even to these last few years, the shows that are still making the most money, since we started this conversation, The Big Bang Theory in reruns has probably made $1 billion. and that's not much of an exaggeration, a little bit. So I don't think they're going away, but we do think of the half-hour comedy now in some different ways that aren't all the old notion of set up, punchline, people laughing. But I don't think they're ever going to go away entirely.
Bob, thanks a lot for joining us again. It's been a lot of fun.
That was lots of fun. Thanks.
Robert Thompson is a trustee professor of TV and pop culture and founding director of the Bleier Center for Television and Popular Culture at Syracuse University. We talked to him about TV sitcom families, which ones we'd most want to be part of. By the way, we've linked to a quiz on the PBS website that'll tell you which TV sitcom you might belong in. It's a few years old, but still kind of fun. Check it out at WPR.org/Central Time. Heard from some more of you on Facebook along the way. Tim says, The Gilmores from The Gilmore Girls. I would never be hungry again. Famous for their food. Ted goes with the family from Modern Family. Eric says The Simpsons. Cody, the Taylors from Home Improvement, or the Baxters from Last Man Standing.